It's game time. And if you've got a hunch about this NBA season, you could turn it into a big win on FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win.
Ooh, that guy's hotter than a microwave burrito.
Now that's a red-hot hunch.
21 plus and present in Ohio. Must be first online real money wager. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about this letter that was sent out to parish priests in the Diocese of Cork and Ross by Bishop Fintan Gavin. And it instructed them that communions and first confessions need to take place outside of school hours. Communions at the weekend and first confessions outside of school hours. Not the prep, but simply the sacraments themselves. Now, if you were like me, I wondered what the big deal was, because in our school, all of the sacraments do happen outside of school hours. But apparently in some parts of the country, some schools, not a huge amount, but some, had been doing the communion maybe on a Friday and first confession was happening in the school hall during the school day. So no more, says Bishop Fintan Gavin. Should he have gone further, though? Should he have suggested that actually the preparation for the sacraments, that should also be happening outside of school hours? With me to discuss is Father Iggy O'Donovan in studio. Iggy, it's good to see you. Thanks a million for coming in to us.
Good evening.
Do you think we should be doing the prep for the sacraments, for confession, communion and confirmation, the three big sacraments that happen in primary school, second class and sixth class most often, that all of that prep should happen outside of school hours?
I think there is a very good case for it. I'd hasten to add before I start, I wouldn't be advocating that we don't have the teaching of religion per se. That goes on in societies and countries everywhere where comparative religion is studied as an academic subject and so forth. But that catechetics, sacramental preparation and so forth is generally done outside of the classroom, outside of school hours. Even in this country, and I've had some involvement in this, in a Gaelscoil, in one particular Gaelscoil, and I know that after school, for First Holy Communion and First Confession, they had a catechist coming in, and those who volunteered or who wanted to participate, the parents who wanted their children to participate in First Confession and First Communion, they paid the catechist some couple of times a week for catechetical lessons. Mm. And I was involved in administering the sacrament in several times for that particular school, and they were excellently well prepared outside of school hours. I have some reservations, a lot of reservations, in fact, about the idea that it must be done across the board, and that teachers, that is simply part of their contract that they do sacramental preparation, because it happens to be a fact that many of them, they do it as part of their job. They don't have a personal commitment to it. They do put in the effort in getting it done. But many of them will tell you, and look, I not want to be flippant in any way, but one young teacher who told me not so long ago, and the teacher had appeared in a photograph in a local newspaper with the bishop, with students at confirmation.
Yeah.
And she said, "Let me tell you, Jesus Christ means less to me than Santa Claus." But there she was preparing them because it was part of the job. So I think in some ways we're debasing the currency by allowing that type of thing to go on. So all the preparation we want, but I think it should be done as part of the worshipping community through the parish, through Sunday school. There's another point. Yeah. And that is increasingly our schools are multicultural, multi-religious or non-religious in some cases. And I think sooner or later, we'll have to face that anyway. And it could well be that the state, which, after all, is under the taxpayer who is underwriting the schools, may well take the decision to take sacramental preparation that out of the school. Because in the multicultural situation, when we were monocultural, it made more sense. But it certainly, it's open to question now.
You would, as a consequence, have fewer kids doing the sacraments. One would imagine that there's a certain amount who just kind of, they do them because it's happening in school and the parents maybe don't think too deeply about it. And if it was happening after school or at weekends, they mightn't do it. Would that bother you?
I have heard many clergy comment, particularly with the sacrament of confirmation, which is meant to be the final sacrament of initiation into the Christian community. Mm. In fact, for many, it's the sacrament of egression. It's that's the final turn up. And say the following Sunday, the number you will see in church and so forth is quite limited. So that if fewer were doing it, it might well be that it will bring the thing to a head. Because so many, we're going, look, in, again, not wishing to sound flippant, but in some ways we're celebrating the sacraments now in with a degree and an intensity socially, which is in inverse proportion to our actual belief in them.
Yeah.
I think, and I don't wish that to be a flippant comment, I think it's true because, look, I've been 41 years ordained. I've seen a hell of a lot of the coalface in my time.
Yeah.
And this is just, I think, a fairly objective observation I am making.
Well, David Quinn is on the line as well. David, who is head of the Iona Institute. David, I suspect you probably agree with Iggy O'Donovan on this front, do you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I remember a good few years ago I was interviewing a former Chief Rabbi of Ireland for the Irish Catholic. This could be 25 years ago or something. And he was talking about bar mitzvahs, you know, which is what Jewish children make when they're about age 12. And it'd be something equivalent to our confirmation. And he said this actually for a lot of Jewish children is the ceremony where they actually kind of say goodbye to them because they never see them again for years to come except for weddings and funerals and that kind of thing. And it was very similar to what was happening with the Catholic religion and others as well. You see, people, there's this big demand for, you know, what are called rites of passage. So like your child is born and then your child reaches the age of reason, which kind of coincides with communion. And then they're reaching what would have been considered adulthood once upon a time, which is age 12. And then weddings and funerals and all that kind of thing. And people want some kind of big ceremony for that. And the Irish people are still very attached to those kind of ceremonies and as religions by and large that do them best. And so you have this kind of weird situation where loads and loads and loads of parents don't practice, but they still do want a major ceremonial event as their children get older and as they themselves get married and so on and so forth. And what this causes in a society that's become very secular is that the ceremonies themselves become kind of adulterated, by which I mean watered down, that they become kind of more social events than they become religious events.
Yeah.
And that obviously becomes a problem.
It does from a religious point of view, and I accept maybe both of you approach this from a religious point of view, but just for a moment, David, to set that aside, I mean, there is an argument from a societal point of view that there's a value in us having these common cultural touchstones.
Yeah, there is. And you see, I mean, the whole thing about, you know, all the little girls and boys making their communion and they all make them together and they make them on a big special day. I think, and maybe Father Riggi will correct me here, I think this actually originates back in the Mediterranean cultures like Italy, where you still see these big sort of religious processions and everybody takes part in, particularly in things like Easter. And I think this is something of an echo of that. But again, it goes back to a culture where we kind of appreciated that kind of thing more. But you see, I don't know. I mean, it's probably some kind of balance to be struck here. I mean, it's not going to kill parents if they have to bring their children to make First Holy Communion at either the Saturday or Sunday Mass, is it, rather than during the week. I mean, that's not too much of a compromise to have to make so their child still gets to do
David, you would think that, you know, anyone who's gone through it, there's usually been kind of the 10 Sundays before Communion you're expected to go to Mass, and the amount of giving out, I tell you, that happens at the school gates about having to go to Mass this weekend in advance of
having to go.
Well,
even the term.
Out.
Even the term. David, you're absolutely right there on one point. You mentioned the continent and Italy in particular. Mm. It's interesting that, and I've lived many years in Italy on and off, the depth of cultural Catholicism there, they never had a very high level of practice as in mass going in our sense of the term. But you will regularly hear Italians talk about the beauty of Catholic music, the beauty of Catholic architecture, the beauty of Catholic theatre and churches and art and the tradition in that sense, in a way that you'd rarely hear in this country. And that's often expressed, David, in those beautiful processions and so forth, in which, they have a climate for it too, but in which they mark, say, the Madonna. Like the 8th of December is a national day in Italy, hugely celebrated. The 15th of August is their biggest day of the year. For a secular society, they celebrate it in a massive way. Bigger than we do with St. Patrick, except without all the booze. But your observation, actually, David, there was correct, that it's very deeply enculturated in a group like Italians, but in a healthier way than we managed, where we almost defined everything by adherence to, say, mass going and the sacraments in that sense.
Yeah.
They didn't have it, but they certainly had a deeper cultural attraction to Catholicism than we had.
David, can I ask you about the... Yeah. Can I ask you just about the one of the consequences of taking the preparation to outside of school hours, after school or at the weekends, you know, is that fewer kids are going to be doing it. Now, I guess the argument in favour is those kids who are doing it are going to be more engaged, and that seemed to be Iggy's experience in the Gael school. Certainly, they were very, very well prepared. But what you're doing there as well is, I guess you're giving the parents the decision about the sacrament and the child's kind of journey in the church and into the church, and that there might be children who might have a very deep and meaningful life and relationship with the church if they were to do the sacrament, but they might not do it in this case because mum and dad are kind of, you know, on the agnostic side of the spectrum. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I mean, this is the tricky aspect of it. I mean, it's like,
you know, you get a few people who are just doing it for the party, but then you'll pull in those people who might otherwise be missed, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit tricky to work out what the relationship there is because, as you say, the parents might be very agnostic or just indifferent, and actually the child gets engaged by it, and the child might later start going to Mass of their own accord when they reach adulthood or whatever, and that opportunity might be lost if they don't get to make these sacraments at all. So I'm not quite sure what the relationship there is, and I wonder if any sociological data exists to back that up. But I think an awful lot of this relates back to the question of school divestment. I mean, there's far too many Catholic schools in the country compared with the level of practice now. It's true that in a place like Britain, a lot of people still love to send their children to religious schools, be they Church of England or Catholic or whatever, because they think those are good schools. And so even though England is an extremely secular country, something like a quarter or a third of state-funded schools there are church-run and extremely popular. So even in this country, you'd have a lot of people who don't go to Mass but would still prefer to send their children to the local Catholic school or Church of England, sorry, Church of Ireland, or whatever the case may be. But there certainly needs to be a lot of divestment. We are becoming more multicultural. We are becoming more secular, and the schools don't reflect that. So over time, it may be the case that the number of Catholic schools in the country maybe needs to drop by half. And then it'll be interesting to see, in the schools that have become more secular, what do parents want to do in terms of the likes of First Holy Communion and Confirmation? Will they be motivated enough to bring their children? And what will happen then in the remaining Catholic schools in terms of those things?
I also think, incidentally, there may be a case for celebrating the sacrament when kids are slightly older. I think there's a good case for, teenage 15, 16 going for confirmation.
Where they have a bit more agency and can think about it more.
Yes, and that is also true in many of the parishes in Italy. I know that. And I think I actually think in some ways it's healthier.
All right. Well, listen, it's fascinating stuff and I really enjoyed the conversation, and I'm sure lots of people will want to get in touch and share their views on 087 1400 106. Father Iggy O'Donovan and David Quinn, thank you both very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
It's game time. And if you've got a hunch about this NBA season, you could turn it into a big win on FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win.
Ooh, that guy's hotter than a microwave burrito.
Now that's a red-hot hunch.
21 plus and present in Ohio. Must be first online real money wager. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.